Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we feature an interview with Bruce Two Dogs Bozum, the chairman of the Mohegan Tribe, on the future direction of the tribe with the advent of the opening of a new facility at Pocono Downs and expansion in Connecticut. Bozum took charge as leader of the Mohegans 2 years ago and has demonstrated a respect for the past with a vision for the future. His understanding of gaming and the development of the Tribal Gaming Authority is unquestioned. The Mohegans' involvement in Pennsylvania has been very successful, and now they're looking at other regions to develop. Leading off the podcast this week are some questions and answers from Mitchell Edis, the president of the Tribal Gaming Authority. Edis explains what the Mohegan Sun at Pocono Down means to his company. Mitchell Edis, this property is really amazing, what you've done here in rural Pennsylvania. What was the thought when you started to design this property?
Well, you know, what we try to do is use the elements that we know have been successful in Connecticut. The circular design of the casino, which really makes it easy to get around, makes it quick. The access to the non-gaming amenities immediately off the gaming floor, which adds a lot of energy and excitement. The center bar, which is no longer a unique trait in a casino, but we began that with the Wolf Den in Connecticut. So we tried to integrate a lot of things that we know worked and bring it to here in both the design and the operational standpoint. What we've done here in terms of the outsourced restaurants and name brands, I think for a facility of this type, Racino type, is kind of unprecedented with the Ruth's Chris, Rustic Kitchen, and Bar Louie. We've got some good retail here, and I think the nicest food court I've ever seen. Shouldn't say that too loud because people in Connecticut will be mad, but no, we really wanted to build something that was reflective of the tribe and the Connecticut operation, yet was consistent with the environment here in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Now, it is a Racino with a working harness track. How has that been working? I know, all racing has had a hard time, but has it been the same here?
Well, I think they've been doing very well. I think they had a great year last year on the racing side. Of course, with the purses now, they get the best horses and drivers in the country here, basically. So the racing is of high quality. So the export signal has been very successful. And they've also done a good job here in terms of integrating, at least in the temporary facility especially, the harness and the slots. And I think we're going to see that continue. And now, obviously, the industry, the horse industry, as is the whole gaming industry, is having a tough time right now. I think we fared a little better here than the norm.
Mohegan Sun is known for its master planning, and have you done that here? Is there other potential expansions down the road here if things go well?
Yes, we are totally master planned here for the right expansion, of other amenities, hotels, and so forth. If there were to be table games, we know how we could do that. So we've taken a very a schooled approach here as well, because we're aware that making things work consistently and making it flow is critical to success. So we're looking forward to that and hopefully being able to expand.
The slot product is obviously state of the art. Are you ready for the server base and that kind of thing that comes along?
Well, I think everybody's kind of waiting for that. I know we have the most up-to-date platforms here and great games and great machines and the iViews. So I'd say we're ready for whatever comes upon us.
High tax rate in Pennsylvania here, something you don't have in Connecticut. Did that affect the way you designed the property?
Well, obviously when you have a high effective tax rate, the Connecticut tax rate isn't high compared to this, but relatively to what land-based casinos of our size have, it's actually much higher. It's an 18% effective tax rate, much higher than Vegas or Atlantic City. But here, obviously, you're talking a whole nother level, and you have to obviously build effectively. We couldn't spend $400 million on this. We know that. And it makes you be creative. It makes you use technology. It makes you operate efficiently. I think Bobby's done a great job here, our GM, of creating a service culture and creating relationships with the customers. And so if it's hard to earn a point here than it is in Connecticut, or harder to get a comp here than it is in a lower tax rate jurisdiction, the service makes up for that and the offerings make up for that. And we've been very successful. So, obviously, you have to adopt what you do. We never want to give up our zest for quality and for service, and that's kind of been our mantra. And so, I'd be lying to say that everything here is done the same exact way it is in Connecticut, because you can't afford that. But what we put out here is, I think, the best product in the Commonwealth, and something really that is, especially with the gas and so forth, a reasonable reason to maybe come here if it's a little closer than go to Atlantic City, if you're a slots player.
Talk a little bit about your Connecticut expansion, $900 million, House of Blues Hotel, right. All kinds of things. When's that going to happen?
Well, we've already opened part of the expansion, which I think you've seen, the Sunrise Square Asian Gaming, which has really, really been successful. It's got 48 tables, and it's busy all the time, and great Asian amenities. The second phase of that is the Casino of the Wind, beautifully themed, David Rockwell design, opens at the end of August, August 29th. That brings poker back to Mohegan Sun, which we're excited about. About 600 slots, 28 table games, Margaritaville restaurant, two stories with an outdoor deck, and a Chief's Deli. So that's going to open at the end of August. And then the mass expansion, the 900-room hotel, a House of Blues hotel within the hotel, more shops and restaurants, celebrity chefs and so forth. That's opening October of 2010. But they're excavating and we're underway and we're funded.
That's the important thing these days, right?
Yes. Very important to have your financing in place.
Good question. Well, Mitchell, this is a great property, and you did a great job in the limits you had to operate under, and I think it's going to be very successful. I'm sure you hope that, too.
Yeah, we're very confident here, and we're really excited.
Okay, well, thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you soon when the other expansion opens in Connecticut.
Thanks a lot.
Bobby Soper is the president and CEO of the Mohegan Sun at Pocono Downs. He talks about how the project was designed, and he spoke with me immediately after the facility opened last week.
Bobby Soper, this is such a great facility you guys have built here in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You don't kind of expect to see this kind of facility up here. What did it take you to really get this thing going?
Yeah, no, first of all, it took support of our organization, and they've been supportive all along. And, you know, the Mohegan organization has, you know, really come through and, you know, just a great organization not only to work for but to develop relationships. And we've done that since we entered this community, and we promised a first-class facility, and I think we've delivered on that.
We've heard some kind of negative things about the Pennsylvania Gaming Commission, but from what I understand, they've worked very closely with you and really worked closely to get this thing open.
Yeah, you know, I have nothing but positive things to say about both the board itself and their staff. And they've been very diligent and obviously fulfilling their obligations. But they want to do what's best for Commonwealth, and that shows. And they've just been an absolute pleasure to work with. You know, I don't think people appreciate the amount of work and commitment that they have.
Tell me about the expectations for this property, both in terms of revenue and in terms of what it's going to mean for the community.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we obviously think that there's a lot of potential in this region, especially as we add all these amenities to create a complete guest experience. Now, I can't specifically talk about numbers, you know, because of fair disclosure rules, but we're optimistic, obviously cautiously optimistic. The economy's not very strong right now, and, you know, there's other external variables that could impact performance, but you know, we're still glad. We wouldn't change. We're glad we entered this market. We wouldn't change any of the program that we've designed and now implemented. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the results will, you know, bear that out.
And for the community, is this going to mean a lot for the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area?
You know, I think so. You know, we wanted to create and design a facility that they would be proud of. We wanted to celebrate the people, the culture, the history of the area, and we certainly feel proud to be part of that community and hope they will feel the same when they look at this facility. And I think it will be a boost, not only through job creation and tax revenues, but I think it'll spur more capital investment in the area. And, you know, it's been growing for the last 10 years, and this, I believe, is just another piece of the puzzle to see this area grow.
Tell me about the slot product. Obviously, you got all the newest machines here, but are you prepared, or did you implement some server-based gaming? Are you prepared to get that into play here?
Oh, absolutely. We have the newest technology, and we've designed, you know, the systems and the floor layout to accommodate server-based gaming when that materializes. And, you know, we've got a great mix of product here, and obviously we'll tweak it as, you know, we hear more feedback from customers. But we feel pretty good about our current layout, and we're ready for whatever the future holds.
We've been hearing a lot about possibility of legalization of table games in Pennsylvania. Did that figure into your design philosophy when you started out this place?
Yes, we do believe it's a question of when and not if table games will become a reality in the Commonwealth. We did a master plan for more gaming space to accommodate table games. In fact, as part of this project, we built some utility infrastructure so that there would be minimal disruption of our current facility in the event we do construct a new facility to accommodate table games. And we're hopeful and optimistic that it won't be too far off in the distant future.
Tell me about the design process. You had JCJ Architects design the facility. What kind of input did you have, and did the tribe have in getting this up?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, as the operator, you have to be involved in the process. JCJ should, get full credit for the facility that they designed. It is a remarkable facility, and I think it's a facility that has a lot of bang for buck. A lot of return on investment, a lot of custom finishes, but yet a lot of value associated with it. And, we obviously had to provide our input all along to ensure that it was functional from an operational standpoint. And, there were appropriate sight lines and easy to navigate. And, all of our teams were involved in that process.
Well, the Mohegan Tribal Gaming Authority is really noted for its forethought, the master planning that they've done in Connecticut. Is that same thing been done here?
No, absolutely. We've planned for many, many years to come. We may never have another expansion again, or we may expand, many more times. But we're ready. We have master planned, many additional amenities, whether it's a hotel, convention space, whether it's table games, more retail, food and beverage amenities, and we wanted to design it in a way such that it all looks like it was built at one time, minimize disruption, and that's what we have done in Connecticut, and I think we've done the same here.
Well, obviously, this is the classic Racino. It's got the harness track along with it. How has that been performing since the casino part of it is open?
Yeah, industry-wide, racing has been impacted, not unlike any other service industry, including the casino industry. But we've actually held our own. We feel pretty good about the results and the benefits to our racing product. And we believe by now adding all these additional amenities, we're going to create even more synergies with our racing product.
Well, the you've really done a nice job with the track itself, the grandstand area and the outside area. It's really been improved since you took over. Was that part of the idea to really have a first-class facility throughout?
No, absolutely. We made a commitment when we entered this market that we were going to first focus on improving the racing product, and we did. We made significant capital investments. We raised purses even before slot machines. Obviously, with the slot revenue, it has increased purses even more. We've improved the backside and not only the front of house amenities, and we did not want that to be the ugly stepsister of the facility, and Again, it's an opportunity to drive incremental business to our racing side by adding these amenities.
Well, Bobby, this is a tremendous facility, and we offer you our congratulations, and we know it's going to be a huge success, and we hope to come back and talk to you after we can talk about some numbers.
Thank you, Roger, and of course, you're welcome back anytime.
And finally, Bruce Bozum spoke with me at G2E Asia in Macau in June about the Mohegan Sun at Poconos Downs and other tribal projects and Native American concerns. Chairman Bruce Bozum, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's kind of unusual to see you here in Asia since we're kind of neighbors in the Northeast there, but it's actually nice to get together and to talk about what's happening with your tribe and your facilities up there.
Worth the trip to be here with you.
Well, great. I'm sure that wasn't the reason, but it's nice to be able to work out the details here. Your tribe has a long and proud history. When Ralph Sturgis recently passed, it really reminded me of the long path to recognition and the economic independence that has been brought by the casino industry. What role do you and your generation of leaders now have to play in extending the success of the tribe?
Well, first of all, thanks for mentioning Ralph Sturgis. He was a close, dear friend of mine. I miss him dearly. Great guy. And during the time of his passing, I was reflecting and thinking about all the work he did. The guy was in his 70s, mid-70s, while we were going through the federal recognition process. And I see the amount of work that I have to do today.
Yes.
And to think what he did, I mean, I'm so blessed and thankful that we had him at that time to get us where we are today. Mm-hmm. And it's a job for the leaders today and the leaders tomorrow to always look ahead 13 generations, you know, to maintain what we have, the work that was done to get us recognition, to let us self-govern ourselves, to take care of our people, to give back so other tribes can receive benefits like we do. It was a lot of work, and it's a big job for anybody in any tribe across the country to maintain that.
Right, no question. For many years, the overwhelming success of both Foxwoods and the Mohegan Sun has meant there's been little rivalry for customers. It's kind of like build it and they will come. But there's certainly been a downturn in the market in the last year, and every customer is really important now. And tell us how this has impacted the relationship between the Mohegans and the Pequots, if it has indeed.
Well, just like any business, you have to keep an eye on the competition, and you have to be mindful to what you have and stay aware. And, you know, competitive business as far as customers going back and forth, it's all gone down across the country, not just in
Connecticut. Sure. No, absolutely, it's not just.
And we are both tribal nations, so we do keep each other informed on the issues and what's happening in our state, and we work things together.
Sure. It's a little bit more than just a casino association, since you have such a common background with the Pequots.
That's right. We are ancient cousins.
Yes. Is it a healthy rivalry? I mean, do you one property expands, does the other property think you gotta take it to the next level? Is that the way it's been working so far?
Absolutely. Without change.
Yeah.
You know, things can become stagnant, and that's what we don't want to see. We do have to win the loyalty of our customers who come now, but we have to also win some new customers. So that competition goes back and forth from casino to casino with a limited pool. So we do stay competitive, but without holding any grudges.
Right.
They're just like, let me use an example of my golf buddy. I love to see him make a good shot, but I still want to beat him on that hole.
That's right, exactly. And certainly each of you has one-upped each other spectacularly and down through the years. Well, tell us about your next expansion. You've got a House of Blues project coming in, and as well as an expansion of the hotel and the casino.
Yeah. Project Horizon is about a $970 million project. We've already opened up a portion of that, which is called Sunrise Square, catering to our Asian clientele, which are very, very important to our business. Coming this summer, the Casino of the Wind, that will be opening. About 40,000 square feet more of gaming area, and we'll also have a Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville restaurant, two stories with an indoor and outdoor element. So it's seasonal, so it's designed so we can have some fun out there in the summer. A new poker room, state of the art, which is another element that we're bringing back to Mohegan, but at a much higher level than we had before. So that will all be open this summer, and then by the end of 2010, the tower, another 980 so rooms will be open with a new retail corridor, and that's where the House of Blues will be coming in. We'll have about 280 themed rooms just for the House of Blues and the hotel, the private club foundation room upstairs, the event center, the House of Blues event center, and their restaurant down on the bottom.
Will the foundation room be right at the top of the hotel?
Right at the top with a balcony.
Okay.
Just like all of their
sounds
others.
Like Vegas.
Vegas and Showboat and wherever else they are.
Yeah. Well, they're a great operator. I think they'll certainly draw a lot of people there.
Yes, I am a House of Blues fan, which was even more of a reason to be excited about them coming to our property.
Sure. Well, you know, in Atlantic City, their facility is now operated by Harrah's. This is going to still be operated by Live Nation, which owns House of Blues.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You've had a great management and team in place right from the start, and you still have one of the original members as the head of the organization now, Mitchell Edis. How important was you to have a knowledgeable group in place, in the beginning, and then certainly to grow the company through the years?
It was very important to have a knowledgeable group when we started. Mm-hmm. We were a tribe. We did not have any gaming experience, so mm-hmm. bringing in the experts, and we were very careful about that. We wanted to make sure we had the best of the best because we had a standard that we wanted to have mm-hmm. there at Mohegan. So bringing the group in, letting them run the business, and in the meantime, teaching us about mm-hmm. the business. And here we are 12 years later with a better understanding of the business and a real good working relationship between the casino and our tribal government. Mm-hmm.
Well, you you yourself learned on the casino floors as a floor supervisor for a while. What did you learn about the industry when you were actually working on the gaming floor?
Well, not what I was used to. It's a different
That's
world.
For sure, yeah.
It's exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're doing it. One thing I did learn was your employees, your patrons, mm-hmm. the way you treat those folks on your property mm-hmm. is what's going to reflect outside of there. Mm-hmm. I hear people talking about Mohegan Sun all around the world. I've ran into people here that have complimented me on how they're treated when they come to Mohegan Sun as mm-hmm. compared to other casinos.
Right. So it was that kind of thing. But did you learn about the customers themselves, about how they need to be treated well also?
Absolutely. You keep your customers happy by mm-hmm. treating them like family. Mm-hmm. When you come to Mohegan, not only customers, but the employees are all part of our family.
Right.
You're welcome. You come to my house, you're welcome to be there, and I'm going to treat you with respect.
Mm-hmm. So this is, most of your employees are non-Indian, do you approach human resources a different way than you think like a normal company may in terms of embracing them as family?
Yeah, we do. Human resources takes a good hard look mm-hmm. At everybody. We want to treat everybody fairly.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of programs in place for our employees, Employee Appreciation Day, mm-hmm. holiday events. In the early phase of Mohegan Sun, we constructed a employee center
mm-hmm.
Where 10,000 of our employees park on site.
Mm-hmm.
They have cleaners, a bank, a gym, a computer room, a wellness center,
mm-hmm.
everything that our employees need to make them feel comfortable there. So their lives aren't impacted too much,
mm-hmm.
Trying to make everything easy. And we also have a child daycare mm-hmm. center
okay.
that our employees use.
Mm-hmm. And you encourage advancement and things of that nature by giving them training and tuition credits if they go back to college, that kind of thing?
Yes, we do. I'm very proud of that. And back to originally your question there, when we first started talking about, there are a lot of, probably about 9,000 of our employees are non-native, mm-hmm. maybe more.
Yeah.
So the native employees, Mohegans, and other natives around the country mm-hmm. have an Indian preference for
sure.
job hiring.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that they can come in there and start off at a high level with mm-hmm. no experience. We expect our own people to come in there and learn the business as they go
mm-hmm.
and to keep up to our standards.
I see. So you really do take pride in advancing employees, whether Indian or non-Indian, through the ranks.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's a fair balance.
Okay. Tell us about economic diversification. You know, for many years, obviously, you had your hands full in Connecticut, but now you've got several contracts with other tribes to build and manage their casinos. Is that as much of a business relationship as it is kind of giving back to other tribes in the country?
Absolutely. Giving back is very important to mm-hmm. us. It's a long-standing philosophy of our tribe and many other tribes, mm-hmm. always to give back. Take what you need, give back what you can.
Mm-hmm.
So helping the Menominee Tribe, College Tribe, mm-hmm. and the Middletown Ranchiera, they reached out to us
yes.
for help. Looking out there in the market, they wanted somebody who was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we're giving them a hand to get started, mm-hmm. To expand the Middletown Ranchiera, to expand what they have. We want to see them become self-determined tribes.
Mm-hmm.
To govern their own needs and to be able to give back and help other tribes mm-hmm. along the way.
Okay. And that also gives your employees opportunities to go work in other jurisdictions and help them out as well, I would
Absolutely.
Imagine. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about Mohegan Sun at Poconos Downs? This is a commercial gaming venture. You're operating under the same rules as any commercial gaming company. It's a little bit different than working under tribal government regulations and things of that nature. How long did it take to get used to that?
We're very proud of Mohegan Sun mm-hmm. and Pocono Downs.
Sure.
It didn't take us long. We used one of our own tribal members who had experience at Mohegan Sun, Bobby Soper,
right,
to go out there and manage that property.
Mm-hmm.
We understood the rules. We knew it was different than reservation gaming, but everybody had the same rules.
Right.
So it was just a matter of applying those to what we already have and understanding them.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about some of the regulatory instability in Pennsylvania? I just read today that the executive director has resigned now, and you know, there's some question about how some of the licenses were issued. Does that concern you as a tribal member who's proud of the integrity that your regulatory system has brought in Connecticut?
Yeah. We keep a watchful eye on everything that happens there, but I wouldn't say that we're overly concerned.
Mm-hmm.
We have faith in that piece of our business, and we are SEC registrants, and we have no concerns about our integrity and our regulatory system that we follow there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. It's just a matter of keeping an eye on things, but we do communicate when something is happening.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. Are you looking at some other opportunities, commercial gaming opportunities around the country and around the world at this point?
Commercial opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. In
the gaming?
Right.
Well, you know, we get a lot of calls. A lot of people want to meet with us to talk about it, and, you know, it's worth the trip to go take a look and sit down and talk with people.
There was some talk for a while that your tribe might be interested in buying the Tropicana in Atlantic City, for example. Are you interested in that market? Kind of you can have a little triangle effect in the Northeast there with the Pocono Downs, Mohegan Sun, and a property in Atlantic City.
Yeah, we're always looking. We have to stay competitive. I mean, we have a place in Pennsylvania now, so we look at Atlantic City as to the competition there. And vice versa, we look towards New York, we look towards Massachusetts if they allow gaming, what we would do there, if anything.
Right.
But we study the markets, and we just want to make sure that we are protecting our assets and other districts.
Sure. And absolutely, in Massachusetts, you had an agreement with one of the local counties there, right? Was it going to be a commercial casino there as well?
Yes.
Okay.
That's just the process that they're still going through Massachusetts. They've put it on the table. It's been tabled for now, and if something does happen in Massachusetts, we would like to be a part of that, because it would directly affect our business in Connecticut.
No question.
So we'd like to compensate for that.
Okay. Let's talk about non-gaming businesses. Are you looking into anything that either would complement your gaming business or would be completely different in terms of diversification of your economy?
It's sort of funny that you ask that, because in an odd sort of way, Mohegan Sun is more than just gaming.
Yes.
It's very, very much, we have the hotel, the spa, the golf course, the restaurants, all the shows that are there. So we look at that as a large non-gaming business separate from our gaming business.
Yes.
So we've already done that.
Mm-hmm.
We've looked at some other opportunities around the country, but for now, we're going to stay focused on what we're good at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about some federal issues here. Indian gaming has always had some challenges at the federal level. There's been talk about revisiting the IGRA regulations that were passed in 1988, 20 years ago. Do you believe Indian gaming is still misunderstood at the federal level to a certain extent?
Yeah, the issues of federal recognition and land in the trust are very essential to the establishment of Indian gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I know bodies change, people change in offices, and there's just a sort of a re-education process that I think people need to go through in all levels of federal agencies. Just the understanding of the land and the trust and what it means to let a tribe become self-governing, to let them take care of their own, their people, like Mohegan Tribe.
Right.
Once we received federal recognition, we were able to stop receiving federal grants, and we saw those grants go back to poorer tribes.
Mm-hmm.
We take care of our own people with our business.
Mm-hmm.
We built an elderly housing to house all of our elders.
Mm-hmm.
We offer a lot of other social services for our tribal members, and that's where I think a lot of the federal officials need to sit down and take a closer look at what good comes out of Indian gaming when applied directly.
Sure. There were a couple of tribes or at least groups in Connecticut that have tried to get recognition and have been turned away so far. Are you in support of that or opposed to that
How do you stand in those issues?
I'd like to see them go through the same process we went through, mm-hmm. so it's fair for everybody.
Right.
And they were denied on some issues that I really not I'm not informed on mm-hmm. exactly what they were.
Sure.
They applied. They went through their application process. Mm-hmm. And I know we went through a very lengthy,
sure.
one of the largest documents, I guess, that was ever presented for recognition.
Sure.
I just want to see everybody do the same thing.
Yeah, so if they achieve federal recognition, you would support them in any way necessary in Connecticut?
Well, yeah, we'd have to go back mm-hmm. and with the state of Connecticut,
right.
Reopen our compact mm-hmm. and negotiate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another Indian sovereignty has always been a big issue, and when you get to the federal government, the National Indian Gaming Commission, has always kind of crossed that line, in some tribes' minds anyway. Do you think that the regulations they're proposing, say for the Class II gaming, is onerous at this point?
I would. Again, I think they should be sitting with the tribes, mm-hmm. having more discussion with us as to what we're doing on our reservations, mm-hmm. not try to change the laws or the rules halfway
right.
through the game.
Right. So you'd like to see that kind of pattern after the process they went through for the minimum internal control standards, where all the tribes got together and agreed on what should be these standards, and I think your tribe was part of that.
Absolutely.
As well.
What should or shouldn't be. Mm-hmm.
So we're here in Asia, and it's kind of unusual to see you here, as I mentioned. Why did you come to Asia for the G2E Asia show?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, I was with Steve Wynn one day in mm-hmm. Vegas, and we were comparing casinos again. And he told me I should come out and see the one casino that makes more money on table games
yeah.
than I do. And so originally I came out to look at Wynn Macau.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I noticed that the Global Gaming Expo was happening
mm-hmm.
here. So I kind of mixed everything together. And before that, a few weeks ago after the earthquake, we had donated some funds mm-hmm. to the victims here,
okay.
and I wanted to come over and visit some of the orphanages.
Mm-hmm.
I have a daughter that's from an orphanage that
okay.
is totally destroyed here.
No kidding. So it's a personal mission for you as well as a business trip then.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Did you come also to learn how to cater to some of the Asian customers that you have already? I know you have a vast majority of the people that come from New York and Boston to your facility.
Right. I think we understand how to cater to our
mm-hmm.
Asian customers, but I wanted to see how things were done over here. We have a great staff. In the
mm-hmm.
beginning of our Mohegan Sun project in Connecticut, we put together our Asian marketing team, our Asian executive team, and they've organized everything that we have and came up, sort of worked with us on the idea of putting in Sunrise Square in our casino
mm-hmm.
and all the components that go with that to make it successful.
Mm-hmm. Have you brought in clients from Asia who come to Mohegan Sun to visit you there?
Yeah, I guess we have a few.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our Asian clients come
mm-hmm.
from Boston or New York that
right.
we have on property, but there have been some Asian clients that have flown over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Chairman, thanks for joining us. It's been very interesting, and I can't wait to see your property open later this year, the expansion of the casino and the House of Blues in a couple of years. That should be a lot of fun.
Great. We'll see you there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.